So good morning to everyone, and wherever you're listening to the podcast today, we're grateful that you could join us. Our topic for today is on the topic of thankfulness and gratitude. So I'd like to actually open with a quote from Johnny Erickson Tada on this topic of thankfulness. You know, if there is anyone who deserves to be heard on this topic, it's Johnny. As a result of a diving accident in 1967, she's actually lived now for 53 years, not only as a quadriplegic as a result of that diving accident, but really as a voice for what it means to be thankful in the midst of difficulty. In her book, A Thankful Heart in a World of Hurt, she writes this: humans are inclined towards ingratitude. We compare our lot in life with others and either admire them from a distance or burn with envy. We miss the job promotion and collapse in discouragement. We feel overwhelmed with home duties and complain bitterly. When hit with hardships, many people choose one of the following. And maybe, as Johnny writes, you could put yourself into one of these three categories. When hardships strike, many people choose one of the following: giving up, like a horse yielding to a heavy harness. They stoically resign themselves to pulling the plow. But we're not animals, Johnny writes. It grieves God to see his children live an existence of hopeless resignation. The second option is making suffering the focus. Some people yield control to their circumstances, not to God. They make their problems the focus rather than focusing on Christ. And the third, and perhaps the most deadly, and I might add contagious, is becoming bitter. Hebrews 12:15 cautions, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." Johnny writes, "When we allow bitterness to take root in our lives, we close ourselves off from the grace God offers. A bitter person poisons not only his life, but also the lives of others. He may make his hardships his idols, but those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs." So our text for today on the topic of thankfulness and gratitude, we're going to take from Luke chapter 17. So if you have your Bibles there, go ahead and open them up, and I'm going to ask David Johns to read Luke 17, 11 through 19, and then we'll go ahead and start discussing the passage.
Luke 17, starting in verse 11. "While he was on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him, and they raised their voices, saying, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' When he saw them, he said to them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And as they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at his feet, giving thanks to him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And he said to him, 'Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well.'"
Let's just push through, beginning verse by verse, and maybe even from verse 11, if there's any observations that you guys have.
It is interesting, Dave, that he was on the way to Jerusalem, but he was passing between Samaria and Galilee. This is not a typical route taken by Jews because of the aversion towards the Samaritans. So I'm thinking the Lord purposely chose the path to meet the lepers here. And it was just a kind act of the Lord to be able to do this for them as we follow this story later.
And the other thing that I think is so maybe a helpful reminder for me is this is what some have referred to as the journey to Jerusalem passage, that mm-hmm. section from Luke chapter 9 to Luke chapter 19. And Jesus is going to Jerusalem. I mean, he is going to a place where he is going to meet really our greatest need. And so here he pauses and interacts with, you know, these 10, not one, but 10 lepers. Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, maybe we could stop just for a second and pause and think about the mindset that that takes. You know, if I'm going through suffering, or I'm heading toward suffering, or I'm heading toward trial or tribulation, I have a tendency to be thinking about myself, not about others. And again, this is just such a great example about Jesus, you know, whether he's washing his disciples' feet or he's healing people on the way to Jerusalem, he's still got this mindset of esteeming others as more important than himself. I'm just very thankful that he kept thinking of me this entire time. Otherwise, I would have had nothing.
Yeah, amen to that. You know, he came not to be served, but to serve. And even in the midst of what's going to be, what he's going to be encountering in Jerusalem, here he is giving and serving. And maybe even at the outset here, when we begin to talk about this topic of thankfulness and gratitude, that is an offering. It's an offering of praise. It's an offering of giving thanks. And it's a returning to give. Why don't we take a look there at verse 12? What are some of the observations and notes that we have from him entering the village and encountering the 10 leprous men?
I was noticing how the 10 were staying together and how we're kind of in the midst of this sheltering at home, staying together. I see the same six faces, well, five and my own, but recognizing they were together and keeping their distance. They were social outcasts. It wasn't that everyone was keeping their distance. They were keeping their distance.
So one more verse beyond where Dave was just talking. Not only did they stand at a distance, like you're saying, but what I liked was they raised their voices and they called on Jesus. When I have distance between me and the Lord, or distance between me and other people, to actually stand and cry out, "Jesus, have mercy on me."
Yeah.
What a start to a relation, because I like your point, John, about the 10 people. And all I know is that most of the time when people are cut off and they're in their little groups, that becomes oftentimes a place for festering rather than for exploring. And we have to stand, we have to look outside of our group, and we have to look out and say, "Jesus, come in. Come into my relationship somehow, and get that hook outside of ourselves. Otherwise, there's just this downward spiral." And so I really want us to anchor in on this thing, that my gratefulness, if it's anchored any other place than Jesus Christ, is going to eventually be threatened.
Well, you have to give them credit that these guys, they're reaching out to Christ. You know, "God, have mercy on us." I mean, that's a good example to follow, right? I mean, there are so many of the Psalms that they actually begin that way, where the psalmist is crying out to God. And these guys, they certainly are crying out to the Lord. Can you guys think about some examples of your, I'm actually asking for some real life examples from you guys, when you have been sort of as these guys are, crying out to the Lord for mercy. Have there been some instances that you can recall from your life where you've done that?
Dave, I think of one situation I was in years and years ago in the Philippines as a young missionary. I came down with just a very unusual disease there that the doctors couldn't diagnose. I'd lost 15 pounds. My joints were starting to swell, both my fingers and toes. There was pus coming out of just about every orifice in my body. And I was desperate. And I said, "Lord, please, please help me." And I ended up taking an emergency medical flight back to the United States. And at the time, my parents were out of town. And I'm so thankful Gordon and Pedro, our two elders emeritus, met me at the airport and took me to the Dillon's house. And Pedro and Lucy helped nurse me back to health. But it wasn't until I got back here to the States that doctors finally figured out what was going on. And I was just so thankful for God's healing touch and the mercy he showed to me in that situation.
You know, a couple incidents come to my mind, Dave. One was on a good Monday morning as I was working in this company in 2000, and 11, and I was told that I will be affected from the layoff that went on in the company. And little did I know that I will be out of work for like 8 months. And I attended so many interviews, and some came very close. And I remember at the end of like 7th month or 8 months, I was just going desperate. I remember getting into the closet. We had a walk-in closet in the apartment that we lived in at that time. I remember closing both the bedroom door and the closet door and crying out loud to the Lord in desperation and said, "Lord, really, please have mercy upon me in this situation." And the Lord really answered that prayer. And very briefly, another incident, probably in the 2012-13 timeframe, when I first learned that my mom was going through some depression and some very tough times, and I heard about a few things that she was doing, which were like, is that mom that's doing those things? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't really accept that this is really mom doing this. And I remember at lunchtime getting into my car and just crying out loud out of my lungs to the Lord and say, "Lord, why is this situation? What is happening here?" And the Lord did deliver her from that, and for which I'm very, very grateful. And the Lord gave me several opportunities after that to travel back to India and encourage her and talk to her and so on. So yeah, there have been a couple of times.
There certainly have been our share of medical issues in the Westwood household, and that seems to be the trump card of of all things. You know, I remember, you know, one incident, you know, with one of the kids just being at the hospital and coming out and seeing a scratch on the car. It's just like, who cares? I mean, it seems like, you know, when when an issue of that severity comes, you know, we're desperate and we cry out to the Lord. I can relate to, you know, some of the medical things that are shared there. But, you know, the other is there have been work-related things for me as well, and just so many, almost too many to count. And I remember crying out to the Lord for work-related, technical, difficult, confounding problems. And yet the Lord answers. But, you know, and this kind of will maybe push us forward in the story, but kind of like these guys, you get the answer to the prayer, and I push it out of my mind, you know, that the events of the past have gone, and now let's just move on. So what do you observe about the response of the 10 people?
Kind of goes back to the prior verse that when they're crying out because they believe God can do something. So it's not that there's this just a wanton hope. It's they believe that that God has the capacity to do something. And so go and show yourselves to the priest. They're still covered in open sores. Why would they want to go? But they don't even question. They just go. They're expecting something to happen. Something great and miraculous to happen.
Well, so let's just take a look at that initially. Why do you suppose that Jesus asked them to go to the priest prior to being cleansed? Because it actually says in our text that as they were going, they were cleansed. Why do you suppose that Jesus arranged it this way?
Well, we know, Dave, back then that the priests were the ones that could certify or pronounce someone being cleansed, especially a leper being cleansed from their leprosy. And just the very fact that these lepers started off for the priest indicated that they believed they could be healed, you know, by Jesus. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It would have been very embarrassing or almost unthinkable for them, for a leper to come near to a priest unless he was healed. So it really was a step of faith for them to follow the Lord's commandment. And they were blessed because they obeyed what Jesus told them to do.
The Lord has just shown me this, you know, so many times in my life, and I feel like such a slow of heart, you know, that the scriptures talk about, that blessing follows obedience. Blessing follows that act of moving out, trusting God. Do what he says, and the blessings will follow. And we see that, you know, in this lesson of the 10 lepers. Go and show yourself to the priest. What are you talking about? I still have leprosy. Trust me. You know, the Lord is saying, trust me.
It says at the end of the verse, it's a good end there, isn't it? And as they were going, they were cleansed. They were exercising their faith. They knew about Jesus. They knew that Jesus is a healer. So they cry out to them. And Jesus, he says, go show yourself to the priest. And as Dave mentioned earlier, it is usually the priest that would come to the people when they get cleansed, and they would pronounce the lepers that you are cleansed. But Jesus does something something wonderful here. He kind of bypasses it all, and he tells, you go show yourself to the priest. So they are trusting in Jesus's words now. And this kind of tells how desperate they were. And then later we're going to see that these guys were not thankful. That kind of puts me in, like, why were these guys not thankful in spite of the desperate situation that they were in, and they exercised the things that they needed to do to get cleansed?
Well, let's go ahead and go there in the story. So we have Jesus, yeah. He says, go show yourself to the priest. And then in verses 15 through 19, let's take a look at that particular section and see what happens. So what does the one person do that is doing the right thing here, according to verses 15 and 16?
I actually love this part, because it's not only is he thankful, it mm-hmm. starts with, now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, he turned back. It stopped him in his tracks. Turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. He wasn't just me, 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 me. It was about God. And he gave God the glory, gave none to himself, that he deserved it, that he was destined for this greatness. It was a glorifying God with a loud voice.
You know, it's interesting, Dave and John, when a leper, as that disease progresses, it affects your whole body. And they say, including your vocal cords, and lepers, their voice ends up being very raspy and weak. And to me, this was another indicator that this man was really healed. He called out to God with a loud voice. He was not shy about thanking Jesus. And it was another proof that he was actually healed. So I just thought it was neat how he wanted to make known to everyone what God had done for him.
So one guy returns, and he gives thanks with a loud voice, you know, giving thanks to God, and the other nine don't. What do you make of this? Why, you know, David was kind of wondering, you know, this a little bit ago, why the nine didn't return? What do you suppose may have been happening here? Realizing that, of course, the narrative doesn't tell us. But maybe we can speculate a little bit based upon our own experience, some possibilities.
Well, in the realm of speculation, Dave, yeah. I would imagine that they got distracted, you know, or they had other priorities. Here they are. They've been cut off from family and friends for a period of time. They've been cut off from their communities. They've been cut off from opportunities. And now the whole world is open up to them again, and they can go in any direction they want. My guess is that they made a beeline for home and family and others like that to take up their lives again that had been cut off from themselves.
Perhaps that may be the case. Is this your experience, that you're desperate and you're in one of those situations where you've been there before? Lord, help me, you know, have mercy on me. Whatever the situation is, health, work-related, some, you know, relational difficulty, God help me. And he does. And you see an answer to prayer. And then as soon as you do, you sort of say, finally, I got what I wanted. And then we don't, as John was commenting, we don't turn back and give thanks to God. It's that mindset of, Lord, just give me what I want. And I'll leave you alone and you leave me alone, just so long as this current pressure cooker situation is resolved.
Something I think even a little deeper than just the pressure being relieved from my life, that is represented here in this passage. And leprosy is oftentimes a representation of our own sinfulness and our own death sentence that's been made upon us. And here you have men that have literally had the death sentence lifted from them, just like you and I have had their death sentence lifted from us when we were forgiven from by the Lord. Too many of us are like the nine lepers who just go on with our lives, not realizing that that cleansing has taken a tremendous amount of love and power and sacrifice on our Lord's part. And we just go on with our lives. Mm-hmm. And here's this one guy who goes back, and he's not even somebody that was raised in the Jewish faith. He recognizes what God has done for him. All these men had the same disease, but only one of them recognized the power, the magnificence of his salvation in such a way that it made him grateful to the one who had saved him. And I think that every one of us really needs to reflect a little bit more on our own brokenness and realize how much God has done for us. I don't want to dialogue too much here, but the one thought that also is coming to my mind is when I am grateful for those things that I don't deserve. In other words, if I feel like I've earned something, then there's a tendency to say, well, I've earned that. And we've actually got scripture verses to back this up where the master talks to the slave, says, well, you know, you're just doing your job. You don't see a whole lot of gratefulness there. But when I realize that what I've been given is totally not based upon what I've done, but it's a gift of grace, it is something actually the opposite of what I've deserved. When I go back to the gospel and realize that my whole relationship with God and everything in this life is based upon his mercy and his grace, there's not one thing that I can look at and say, this is because of your greatness, my greatness, that is. Mm-hmm. That really starts changing the attitude here. And so I don't know what was in the mind of the nine, but in the mind of this one man, at least, he saw how deep his the pit was, distance that he was taken from the depths to the heights, and that there was no way he was ever going to be able to climb that on his own. And if we can come to each other and recognize that every place that we're at, we're standing on the Lord Jesus Christ, then gratitude starts filling my entire life, not just those times when I'm relieved from not having something work for me.
One of the things that's also happening in this story that I think is equally powerful, we're reading the story of the 10 lepers, and really what I hope that we're doing is we are going to ask ourselves, you know, the question, will I return and will I give thanks to him? You know, the imagery here is powerful, leprosy being sin, and only one person returns. And who is the person who returned? He is a Samaritan. He is a foreigner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Lord has taken care of our greatest need here. And so I think it's helpful when we begin to think about life circumstances. There may be circumstances in our life for which we can return to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you. But there are times, if we're honest, when we look and we're not seeing it. But even in the midst of those difficult and dark times, we can turn back to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you for meeting my greatest need and being grateful for that. Any other, you know, takeaways from the story here as we begin to kind of round third and come home here on the topic?
You know, he's together in a group of 10. They're all healed simultaneously. He stops. The other guys don't stop to look. What is he doing? He returns in a loud voice and then falling on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks. And the other guys don't notice. They're like clueless. Sometimes I will receive something and forget to be thankful. And sometimes I'll have a grandchild will tell me, say, thank you, Grandpa. And that little stark reminder is, if someone else is being thankful for the same thing, get a clue. You nine leftover guys, get a clue. The Samaritan is thankful.
As I was studying this passage, I was reminded of Nabal in 1 Samuel chapter 25, Nabal and Abigail. Remember, David was running away from Saul, and he hears about Nabal, and he sends his servants there. And Nabal's attitude there is expressed in what he said. And I just wanted to, as I was thinking of why these nine guys were not thankful, I was reminded of that verse where Nabal says, "Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men whose origin I do not know?" And I was thinking, you know, when God blesses us, the blessings become more important than the one who bestows the blessing. And somehow we get a sense of entitlement and say, you know, this is mine. I got this. This is my car. This is my house. This is my space. Forgetting the one who gave it to you. And when these guys were healed, their eyes were on the fact that they were cleansed, and now they are clean, and not on the one who cleansed them, and also not on how they were 10 seconds ago or a minute ago. And so that can become an idol in and of itself, that blessings become more important than the blesser or the one who bestows blessings.
I came across a quote by Spurgeon on this. He pointed out that while 10 men prayed, only one praised. Boy, as believers, we just have so much to praise the Lord for. This one leper who before could never draw near to anyone, he had to keep his distance from everyone. Here he is at the feet of Jesus, able to draw near to Jesus and fall on his face in worship. And have that freedom now to do that, to draw near to the Lord and thank and praise him.
Let's shift gears a little bit in the conversation and wrap things up. So help those of us, maybe like me, who may have a tendency to be more Eeyore-like in our response to life. What can I do? Give me some practical things that I can do, super practical, to cultivate a heart of thankfulness.
My thought goes back to Johnny, who you opened up with, okay? And I'm thinking about this gal that has been paralyzed for 53 years. People would have a tendency to look at that and they're gonna say, well, she wasn't healed, okay? She didn't get raised from her sick bed in a sense or her chair. And yet she's writing a book on thankfulness and gratitude. We've talked about this before, but it's what is it that I'm focusing on? Am I focusing on the greater or am I focusing on the lesser? She is looking toward the greater because what she's saying is, no, I had a disease worse than this quadriplegic accident. I had a disease of sin. And Jesus has paid that price for me. And her focus has been on that and then learning to minister from that position. And again, there's many different things that she's done over the years where she's had probably a bigger impact for the kingdom than the vast majority of healthy people that I know. She's used that as a platform to make a difference in people's lives. And if she'd grown into that bitter person, which she talks about, you know, how she had to struggle with that, that platform wouldn't have been there. And so to get back to what you're saying there, Dave, for me, I have to go back to the very bottom line here, which is if I compare what other people have, I'm going to come out short because so many people may have more than me. But if I look at what Jesus has done for me, then I have riches that a lot of the world doesn't have. And I can be grateful in that. And so keep the weightier things as the prominent things in your life and give gratitude for those and recognize that there's always opportunity to play off of that and to make a difference.
I often, like you, Dave, I think I forget to be thankful. I forget to look around and realize or remember how vile I was and what Christ has done for me. And I heard a speaker many, many years ago talk about being content and being okay with where I am in life. And his recommendation was, if you're ever in a position where you think that you're just not blessed enough, wait for the COVID lift and go to Tijuana and serve in an orphanage just across our border, where you have your wealth and opulence in San Diego and LA area, and you go across the border and it's squalor, and it's go serve in a food line at your local rescue mission, recognizing how much we have and what God has blessed us with. And as Rick was talking about, the gift of salvation and how beautiful that is, that there are others that don't have that, and we are so blessed.
You know, Psalm 107 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." So there is an especially blessed group of people that the Lord wants to hear from, and that's us. I think of how blessed we are as a nation. God has poured out his blessing on the U.S., especially as John was saying, if you live or visit another developing country, boy, to come home to hot and cold running water and electricity that works all the time and first responders that come to your aid without expecting a bribe. I mean, we are blessed materially, but especially we're blessed spiritually. Paul says we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And you can go through a list of just the fact that we're forgiven of all of our sins. We have an eternity in heaven with the Lord. We have peace with God. We're part of the greatest family on earth to be in God's family. We have the prospect of going to be with Christ forever. These are things, as Rick was saying, these are the greater things that we want to focus on instead of being caught up in the smaller details of life.
You know, Dave, Jesus is my role model. And as a follower of Jesus, I'm called to be like my master. It's pretty interesting to see how many times Jesus gives thanks as he prays in the New Testament. You know, when he takes those loaves and the fish, it says he gave thanks. And in at the tomb of Lazarus, what does he do? He says, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." And when he breaks the bread, when he passes the cup in the first Lord's Supper there in Luke 22, what does he do? He gives thanks. So look at the life of Jesus. He's the creator. He's the one who created those fish and wheat for bread and so on. And he gave his own life. He gives thanks. Mm-hmm. So I'm called to imitate him. Mm-hmm. And then one other verse, Dave, that came to my mind was Colossians 4:2. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So make a list of things that the Lord blessed you with in this past week or during the coronavirus time, and specifically give thanks to the Lord for that. You know, and the world is full of unthankful people, but we are a blessed bunch of people who mm-hmm. should be having an attitude of thanksgiving.
Amen. So some great tips, guys. Thanks for that. You know, I guess one of the things that I was thinking as I was hearing your ideas there, at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, as a means or an application to being more thankful, we need to do it, right? You know, that scripture that Dave Johnson read, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Give thanks. Actually do it. And almost in a way, force ourselves maybe independent of feelings and see what happens. If we cultivate a heart of faithfulness by really obeying the Lord in this area of being thankful. Well, why don't we go ahead and dismiss in prayer. I'll ask Dave Johnson, if you don't mind closing us in prayer.
Lord, we truly do have so much to be thankful for. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we forget to return and give praise and thanks like this one leper did. That's a sad percentage, 1 out of 10, 10%. But I guess before I judge those other 9 guys, I need to think of my own thankfulness quotient and how often I should be thanking you for just all your blessings. Lord, help us to choose, as one person said, choose gratitude, choose to be thankful, because we know deep inside we really have so much to be thankful for, and you truly are worthy of all of our praise and thanksgiving. So we do thank you now in the name of our Lord Jesus.